So this message now is for those who identify somewhere on the spectrum of LGBTQ. I want to reason with you, if you'll bear with me and hear me out. If you are thinking of transitioning, of taking puberty blockers, of getting hormone therapy, of getting gender reassignment surgery, that's a big and life-altering decision. You will be sterile for life and not able to bear children. That's just one of the many consequences. It's one thing to buy an outfit that doesn't fit or doesn't look right and regret it. That's easily fixed. Not a huge deal. It's one thing to get a tattoo and then 15 years later wish you hadn't gotten that. But to transition is quite another thing. Before making such a big decision, it is wise to listen to those who would counsel you against it out of love for you. And since you clicked play on this sermon, that must mean you're somewhat open to hearing something that a Christian pastor would say about what the Bible says on this subject. The world tells you one message on sexuality, and you've heard it loud and clear. We've all heard it. And the message is this: if you are a homosexual, you should pursue that lifestyle and not worry about what Christians say about it, and not worry about what the Bible says about it. Rather, do what feels good. The world tells you that Christians are bigots who hate you. The world tells you that the Bible is silent or unreliable on this subject. That gender is a fluid thing that is not fixed. That you can be remade and redesigned according to an inner identity. That if you were born with boy anatomy, that doesn't mean you're a boy. That if you might be a girl trapped in a boy's body, or vice versa. That's the world's message. And you've heard it repeatedly. And you found it persuasive. That's why you're thinking of transitioning, or perhaps why you already have. What I want to tell you up front is that none of those things are true. Christians don't hate you. Christians are not bigots. The Bible is not silent on this issue, and it is totally reliable. Gender is not fluid, and you didn't get the wrong body assigned to you at birth. The Bible is the word of a God who is perfect and who doesn't change. And why would he change if he's perfect? Would you change if you were perfect? I don't think so. I know I wouldn't. I want to show you some things first from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Easy to find if you have a Bible. You could turn there. You can also find a Bible easily online. I'll be reading Genesis 1, 27 through 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So let's think about some of the phrases in those verses. The first is God created man, the very first words. God created mankind, boys and girls, men and women. You didn't evolve from animals. God made you directly as a human being. And obviously you did not make yourself. Now, God didn't ask us if we wanted to be made or created. He made that decision, and now here we are. He chose to create us, and he did so for his glory, to bear his image. And he created each one of us individually. He didn't just create Adam and Eve and then step away and leave the process to unfold randomly. He continues to create every day. Every person who has ever lived And every person who lives today on this planet was created specially and uniquely by God. And there's numerous scriptures that make this clear, but I'll just quote a few. Psalm 103. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Isaiah 44:2. Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. You see that when we talk about God creating us, we're not just talking about God creating the first couple, Adam and Eve. We're talking about an ongoing creative work of God every day. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So note those words, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The way God made you, what He assigned you at birth, was wonderful. It is something to be thankful for. Here's the second point. God made man in His image. He made you in His image. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. It means that you are like Him in some ways. God has a mind, and so do you, because you're made in His image. God loves, and so do you. God is relational, and so are you. God is creative, and so are you. But with respect to the question of sexuality, it means that God made you in a way that reflects Him. God is not confused. He has a very clear mind. And He did not make you in confusion. Or in confusion. If you are confused now, it wasn't because God made you so. Someone else made you so. Confusion is the devil's work, not God's work. God doesn't make mistakes. And when He made you, He didn't make a mistake then either. We make mistakes all the time, but God never does. He has perfect knowledge of all things and perfect skill. When He creates things, He makes them exactly the way He intends to make them, in His image, and then He pronounces them good. You can see that a few verses down in Genesis 1 at the very end of the chapter, verse 31. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, you may be thinking at this point, what about babies who are born with health problems and defects and handicaps? Yes, that's true. There are babies that are born with those. And God created them that way for a purpose. In Exodus 4:11, God owns this, actually, and shows that He's not embarrassed by this. The Lord said to him, that is Moses, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So why? Why does God make some people mute or deaf or blind? We don't know, but we do know that God is good and has reasons for all that He does, for that's what the Bible tells us, and we have no other knowledge of God outside of the Bible. This is where we get all of our knowledge of God. One time in the Gospels, in the New Testament, Jesus and His disciples were talking about a blind man that they saw, and the disciples asked Jesus, Who sinned? This man or his parents that he should be born blind? And Jesus replied, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." That's John 9:3. And then Jesus healed the man and removed his blindness. Now, not everyone gets healed. We know that. But everyone does have a purpose. And there is a divine and good purpose behind every handicap and every sickness and every difficult thing. And every human being, no matter the handicap at birth, is made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. He made you purposefully and clearly, exactly the way He wanted to make you, and not in confusion. Here's the third point. He made them male and female. The last phrase of verse 27, male and female, He created them. He created Adam as a male. Then God created Eve as a female. There were no accidents, no mistakes. God meant for Adam to be a male. And He meant for Eve to be a female. God knows how to put together a man with the genetics, the anatomy, the chromosomes, the hormones, to be a male. God knows how likewise to separately make a female with all the right anatomy, chromosomes, hormones, etc., so that she will be a she, not a he. God knows what He's doing. He's good at this. Men design things all the time. And the designs that they make, sometimes they're not so good, but often they are, and well suited to the purpose for which they design them. Men design rakes, for instance, which are purposefully made and effective to rake leaves and dirt, but they're not very good at turning Phillips head screws. Wouldn't it be odd if we tried to turn rakes into tools that turn screws? Or tried to use them as one of those spaghetti forks to pull spaghetti out of a boiling pot of water? Not really designed for that. Men designed backhoes, which are very good at digging up the earth, but not so good at extracting mucus from a baby's nose. Wouldn't it be strange if we tried to retool a backhoe for that purpose? Well, likewise, God designed men to be men and behave as men. He designed women to be women and to behave as women. We shouldn't be trying to transform males into females and females into males. If we do so, we are insulting God, and we're suggesting that He is incompetent and doesn't know what He's doing and designs people the wrong way. It's possible to be born blind, to be mentally handicapped, to have other issues, but it is impossible to be born in the wrong body. It's impossible to be a different gender than the one you were assigned at birth. The one who assigned it to you was God. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't create little girls in boy bodies. He doesn't create little boys in girl bodies and then leave it up to us to fix the mess He made. No. If you were born a girl, then that's a good thing. It was a good thing that you were born a girl. God made you to be born a girl, and God always makes the right decisions. If you were born a boy, that's a good thing. For God intended you to be a boy, and He got it right. We need both boys and girls. We need both men and women. We cannot get along without each other. That's the way God intended it. In verse 28, we see the next phrase, "Be fruitful and multiply." This is the first positive command that God gave Adam and Eve as a couple. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." To be fruitful and multiply meant that they would come together in marriage and sexual union and bear many children and populate the earth through their descendants. This was God's purpose and His plan for the human race on earth. God let some time pass after he created Adam and before he created Eve. We don't know how long it was. But it was long enough for Adam to feel a sense of need. After he'd named all the animals, there was a sense that something was missing. It was a need that no animal could meet. And of course, God's not just making this up as he goes along and figuring things out. God knows full well what he's planning to do, but revealing it in piecemeal to Adam. Adam needed a woman. He needed a wife. And so God formed Eve from the body of Adam, and they were brought together in the first marriage and sexual union, and then they started having children, and they began to fulfill the purpose that God had for them, to fill the earth with human beings. You see the plan of God right here in Genesis. One man, one woman, marriage, sexual union, children. That's the way the creator and designer of this planet and of the human race set it up to work. It won't work any other way. It won't work for two men to be together as a sort of husband-wife substitute. It won't work for two women either. Just because we have the technology to do some things, or we can sort of bypass the need for a husband, for instance, and a woman can have babies apart from a husband, doesn't mean that's the model, that's the plan of God, that's a wise way of going about things. It's not. Just because the civil law allows two men to adopt a baby and raise it, doesn't mean that's right or moral or good or the way God intended it. It isn't the way God intended it. The same goes with sexual desires. God did not give you the wrong sexual desires and make a mismatch with your anatomy. He doesn't make you a boy and then give you sexual desires for other males. Those desires come about as a result of sin. Many years after birth, same-sex desires happen when people turn from God and worship and serve created things and suppress the truth that God gave them in their conscience. Homosexual desires come in as a consequence for rejecting God as God. That's why there are homosexuals in this world. It's not because they were born that way. It's because they suppressed the truth and rejected God. And so he removed the grace of naturalness and normalcy from them as a judgment upon them. I'm not making this up. This is in Romans 1, which I'm going to read in a minute. For you might find this incredible, impossible to believe. But once that rejection of God happens and people exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, then God turns them over to unnatural lusts. Remember, this is the Word of God. It's not my word. God knows more than anyone else how we are to think about homosexuality. Romans 1:18 and following says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them in the conscience. And God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed creatures and crawling animals. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So this is a mess. This is the chaos that's created because men suppress the truth within them. They don't like it, so they suppress it, keep it down, so their conscience can be free to do things they would rather do. And they turn to idols instead of the one true God, and they go about serving those things instead of the God who made them. And there's consequences to that. You cannot defy God and expect to get away with it scot-free. He turns people over to then unnatural lusts so that they burn for the wrong people. So these are the things that you need to know if you are considering homosexuality or you're transitioning. God alone has authority over your sexual identity and sexual desires. You are a created being, not the Creator. You don't have authority or even the ability to change your gender. If you were born female, you will always be female. If you were born male, you will always be male. No matter what hormones you take, no matter what you do to your body to alter your appearance, no matter what you do to your hair, no matter what kind of clothes you wear. And we can't pretend with you. We can't adopt your pronouns. We can't help you play the game and delude yourself. It's not loving for us to do that. Transitioning is a sin. It's a defiance against the God who made you. And there are severe consequences for those who defy God. It's a sin to exchange the natural desires for the opposite sex, to have same-sex desires. God calls this an abomination in the Bible. You should stay far away from the sin of homosexuality and from those who encourage it. To indulge it is to defy God. Now, if you have already done this, if you have already entered the homosexual lifestyle, you must repent of that and turn away from it immediately, without delay. There is forgiveness of sins, which I will speak about in a moment. If you have already transitioned and you've become what society is calling transgender, there is also forgiveness for you if you repent. And to repent means that you quit taking hormones and you start dressing according to the sex God assigned you at birth. You may need to change your name back. You will need to change your name back if you have a name that somehow signifies a gender which you are not truly. You must tell others that you have sinned, that you are no longer transgender, and ask them to treat you according to your true sex and gender. There are some things you cannot change. If you have had surgical amputations, you cannot fix that. I want to close by talking about Jesus Christ and why it is that you can be forgiven. Forgiveness is not something we can simply presume and expect or demand. Mercy cannot be demanded. If it can, it's not mercy, it's a wage. It's a payment that you owe me, God. But God doesn't owe us forgiveness. He doesn't have to forgive anyone. But He does. It's because of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Adam for a minute. Adam decided to rebel against God and take authority that belonged to God alone. He suffered the consequences, as did Eve, and the world was and is plunged into sin and misery. All the horrible things that have happened in history and the horrible things that are happening today are a result of rebellion against God. The world is a terrible place because Adam and Eve rebelled and because you and I rebel each day against God. And God is under no obligation to make this planet a paradise for people who are rebels who keep trying to steal His throne. But what about Jesus? Where does He come in? Because Adam failed, a new Adam was required. There needed to be a new man who would come and do it right. One who would walk in humility, not pride. One who would only do what he was told to do by God and not do his own thing. One who would obey every commandment of God and fulfill God's law with an A+. That's what was needed. And that's who Jesus Christ is and was. He came and he worked the righteousness of God to perfection, always doing what he was told. His final act of obedience was the most difficult. This holy and perfect man became sin for us. He became the sin of murder, of physical and sexual abuse, of lying and stealing, of bullying, of sexual immorality, of homosexuality, of transgenderism, and every other sin. He didn't commit those sins, but he became them by way of bearing them and carrying them on our behalf. That was exceedingly difficult for him to do because he was pure, holy, and innocent. He's far more offended by sin than you and I have ever been driving by some hog farm or skunk. Far more offended. And he bore it. He took it. He wore it. And then he took God's punishment for it on the cross. God's wrath was poured out on him to pay the debt of those who repent of sin and trust in Jesus for salvation. So believe in Christ and you will be forgiven and saved. Your sins will be washed away. Trust in Him and His perfect A+, His righteousness will be yours. He will give it to you. Believe in Christ and all your sins will be washed away by the power of His blood, removed as far as the east is from the west, cast out of sight. Then you will become something far better than what you were assigned at birth. You will be a new creation in Christ. Talk about a new identity. You will have a glorious identity that goes way beyond male or female. The most important thing about your identity then will not be, are you male, are you female, are you black or white or brown, or what ethnicity are you, or how much money do you have, and all of those things that the world makes much of. It will be that you are a Christian, united to Christ, wearing the perfect robe of His righteousness. That will be your identity. And it is glorious. I pray that you will consider that. I pray that you will believe in Christ. I pray that you will have grace to repent of your sin and turn to Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who have been lied to, by this world, and they've heard Satan's voice, who comes masquerading as an angel of light. He comes sounding very good, very noble, very moral, very righteous. Even all the while, he's deceiving, and there's poison hidden underneath all the garb of the external beauty of it. Pray for them. Pray that you would undeceive, bring light where there is darkness, bring clarity where there is confusion, that you would bind up the evil one and plunder his goods and take away his possessions. Pray, Lord, that the truth of Genesis 1, 27 through 28 would find a home in the hearts of those who listen to this message and who have been confused on this issue. Give them the grace, Lord, of repentance. Give them thankfulness in the way that God made them when He created them. Give them faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.